This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A little break. Now a little gas. Oh, okay, now the break.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama is trying to strike that balance between being cheery and gloomy when it comes to the economy. Later this morning, he'll give a speech in Washington that his aides are billing as a major address. It's expected to be an update on government actions so far and a warning that big challenges are still ahead, including many more months of high unemployment. Here is one gauge of the economic challenges we face: corporate earnings. Later today, the big railroad CSX will announce first quarter results. Joel Rose reports the shipping business can tell us a lot about this recession.
If freight trains look shorter to you these days, it's not your imagination. Rail carriers are hauling 20% fewer cars than they did a year ago.
There's less consumer demand, so you're seeing less commodities being shipped, less materials being shipped, and all of that's weighing on the railroad sector.
Charles Rotblut is an analyst for Zacks.com. He says that's one reason why Wall Street has scaled back its predictions for CSX and other railroad companies. Lee Klaskow is an analyst with Longbow Research. He expects first quarter numbers to be bad. What Klaskow wants to know is what CSX management predicts for the second quarter and beyond.
As manufacturing builds and as inventories start building again, a lot of that is going on the railroad. So, you know, the rails tend to move 3 to 6 months before the overall economy does.
For his part, Klaskow doesn't expect volume on the railroads to start picking up steam until the beginning of 2010. I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And full disclosure here, CSX is one of the underwriters of this program. So, there are fewer cars on the railroads. Well, same for the asphalt roads. With Americans driving less and businesses paring back, the price of oil has slipped under $50 a barrel this morning. Oil's been falling since the International Energy Agency forecast lower demand last week. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
Stock markets have been rising on the back of growing optimism about the global economy, but the International Energy Agency takes a gloomier view. The IEA predicts that the global recession will cut oil demand further this year. They forecast a drop in demand of 2.4 million barrels a day to 83.4 million. Nick McGregor is an oil analyst with brokers Redmayne Bentley.
Effectively, it's a vote of no confidence in the chances of economic recovery in the second half of this year. They're really saying now that they think that consumption won't pick up till 2010.
And he says there's another factor pushing crude prices lower on the supply side of the equation. Non-OPEC countries, Brazil and Russia, have been pumping like mad, and that's undermined OPEC's effort to prop up oil prices by cutting production. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And if you are one of those people moving to a smaller, more oil-efficient car, keep in mind a study out this morning. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety confirms what you might suspect. The new mini cars like the Honda Fit and Toyota Yaris and Smart Car, they did not do well in the latest collision safety tests. Asian stocks were mixed today. European markets are up about 1%, thanks in part to strong earnings news from Goldman Sachs. General Motors shares are down more than 15% in Frankfurt. Continued concerns about the chance of a GM bankruptcy also weighed on the Dow yesterday. It lost 25 points to 8,057. The Nasdaq was flat, and the S&P 500 added 0.25%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. by Constant Contact, helping more than 250,000 small businesses and nonprofits succeed using email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, a smart way to reach your customers. And by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight 423 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce emissions. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The recession has curbed American demand for diamond jewelry, and some people say that's a healthy thing. But there are people all along the diamond chain who are suffering, as our Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
At Inner Gems Jewelry Store in downtown Los Angeles, the glass cases are stocked, but foot traffic is well down. Proprietor Steve Feng says business has seldom been so bad.
The only thing that I can compare it to was that sales are really down after 9/11. People, you know, are not as willing to part with their money as they used to. That's 100% fact. People don't have the disposable income like they used to.
The U.S. has long been the main market for diamonds, but Americans are now pinching pennies, and that's taken the shine off the entire global diamond industry. John Bristow is CEO of Rockwell Diamonds in Johannesburg.
The diamond industry, like every other mineral commodity in the world, has taken a hit, and quite a substantial one, courtesy of the credit crunch.
Since Americans aren't buying diamonds, jewelry stores have lots on hand, so they're not buying new diamonds from auctions in New York, which means the auction houses aren't buying from diamond polishers in India, who in turn aren't buying the rough diamonds that come out of the ground here in South Africa. Rockwell Diamonds has had to lay off hundreds of people, cutting its workforce by a third.
It's not a particularly pleasant situation, but it's an economic necessity at this point in time.
Even South African mining giant De Beers is halting some of its operations. Spokesman Tom Tweedy insists, however, that streamlining in recent years will keep De Beers alive.
So while the challenges are real and enormous, they are not challenges we cannot overcome. We're fit for business.
Thousands of miners have lost their jobs, but the reasons are so clear, even the National Mine Workers Union isn't putting up much of a fight. Lesiba Seshoka is the union spokesman.
Unfortunately, it's a dire situation. There's nothing that we can do.
Nothing directly, at least. They can only hope the global recession will lift and that Americans will start spending on diamonds again. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
We'd like to hear your thoughts when you visit us at marketplace.org and see what our online host, Scott Jagow, is talking about in our Scratchpad blog. For example, no newspaper at your hotel door. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in and have a good Tuesday.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.